Well, Dad, if you just come up, and you know, many of you, 30 of you or so, got a chance to hear from Jim yesterday, and some of you probably know Jimmy and Elaine. They've been here before. They've spoken before a little while back, a few years ago, and they're here again today to just share and really focus in on the Holy Spirit. And so let's just pray. And ask God to just come and continue to speak. So be ready to hear what God would have to say to you today through the power of His Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you that you're at work. We thank you, Jesus, that you have a word for us today. And I just thank you, God, that you provide us spiritual parents. Lord, mentors in our lives. And Father, I pray this morning, what a privilege it is to have Jimmy Lane here to share in this church, Lord. And we just pray you bless them. And Lord, would you bless us through the word that you would put on their heart, God, and as they've instructed us and encouraged us in the things of the Holy Spirit yesterday, God, would they continue today in this third session of our Holy Spirit Encounter Weekend, and bless them, Lord, and allow your spirit and your word to go forth. Lord, would our hearts be open to receive what would be said today. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. Well, it's great to be here, and I just think it's really cool to be in my kids' church, you know. And then actually, it's even cooler that some of you have heard me speak before and it came back. That's totally cool. Obviously, mercy and compassion gifts are working here. Elaine, did you want to come up and say something? I'll give you this chance this week. This will be the only... Nothing be said at home from here, okay? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Is this mic on? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for inviting us today. Looking forward to speaking this morning a little bit. I won't be standing here the whole time, but I'll probably, if God gives me something, then I'll come up at different times. I just have one word for the Lord, from the Lord, for somebody here today, and it's very short. But the word for somebody here today is to give love a chance.
Amen.
And I had that last night, but I wanted to give it today to everyone. So that's the word for someone here today, is to just give love a chance. So thank you.
Okay, thanks, Lane. It's interesting when you're a team, Elaine she moves, and I said this yesterday, that she moves more in the spirit than I do. And I, you know, maybe that's not true as much, but she moves in a different way. And she's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and she has the ministry of prophecy and the ministry of a prophet. And if you if you have that wonderful opportunity to be married to a prophet, and you're not a prophet yourself, they can kind of straighten you out really quick, you know, and it's actually them just being a conduit for the Holy Spirit to straighten you out. And so she has a big job ahead of her still, straightening me out. But I do want to just kind of, I just want to, for some that were here yesterday, is there anything that you'd like to share, testimony or anything that you might want to say about what God did, what you learned or anything yesterday? Well, that was crazy. Obviously well worth coming. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We talked about fire in the fireplace, and a fireplace is a place where you consume wood or any type of fuel to keep warm and to bring light and that type of thing. But it also, it burns away things. And so we talked about how the Holy Spirit purges us and cleans us and changes our lives. And so a good comment came from the floor when we were talking, and was like, if you burn good wood in a fireplace, you don't get creosote in your chimney, you know. So if you burn, you know, good dry wood instead of sea water wood, although it gives you nice colors, with the salt and stuff that's burning, or wood that's wet or wood that's green, that will build up that. And so God, the Holy Spirit, wants to just kind of cleanse us. Psalm 139 says, seek, you know, Lord, just kind of work in my life and find out if there is any hurtful, painful way in me, and bring that to surface, and then help me become whole and free. Someone else, is there someone else that... Come on, I paid a couple of you. It's time to fess up now, or I want my money back. Yes? Church? The journey should be fun. It should be an adventure, right? And we'll talk a little bit again about that today, but you can either go on a tour, on a bus, and have the schedule all in front of you, or you can go on an adventure where you really don't know where you're going to sleep, when you're going to eat, or if you're even going to make it, you know. And to realize that you are going to make it, because you're not your tour guide, but your adventure guide is Jesus. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside. Somebody else? Yes? Awesome. Yeah, that's huge. And we're learning, aren't we? We're learning how to be used of the Holy Spirit, and we're learning to know His voice. And the beauty is that if we fail, we're not a failure. And some of you need to hear that in your lives right now, that when you fail, and you may have failed a lot of times, and all of us have, you're not a failure. But the devil will tell you you're a failure, so you're just a waste of time. You don't have any value, worth, or purpose, and that's not true. Thank you. Somebody else. You don't need to be afraid of anything because He's in control. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, and I wasn't going to church. Not that it would matter probably anyway, but I broke into this old building in my hometown, and me and the cops kid. And I always hung around with the cops kids because you got off easier when you got caught, and we always got caught. So anyways, I went, it was the old days when they didn't have, like, hallways that went down, you know, stairwells that went down. It was just a trap door. And you know how you used to have to go down like this? Because if you didn't, you'd bang your head in the floor. Remember those? Some of us are at that age. So anyways, I was this whole building, and somebody yelled at us. And I whipped down the stairs, and I didn't lean back. And I hit my nose on that, and the blood was pouring out. And I went down to this dark room. And I was just... I mean, blood was running out. I was crying, and I was scared because we're going to get caught. And it was true. We did get caught. And so, you know, I was probably about 8 years old. Started a good life of crime at that age. And years later, I could be on a highway in the desert where there's not a tree or a car or a rock. And if it was pitch black and you shone a light on me, I'd be walking like this. Because of the fear. And we don't need to fear. We walk in the light. We were once darkness, and now we are light. Not just we're in the darkness, but we are light instead of just being in the light. That's awesome. It's one more. I paid one more. I can't remember. Is there somebody else? Okay, well, I'll collect after. Oh, it was you, Debbie, okay.
just the point that God asks us to do things that may not make sense, and there may not be a result for it, but it's like sort of a practice of listening for His voice and being willing to be obedient to it, no matter what the result is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a journey, right? It's a journey of learning. And I don't know what you're like when you go on a course. Like, I've taken a lot of courses over my life, and I, for some reason, I think I should know everything the guy's going to teach. Like, right? I mean, and so when I don't know, I feel like really I'm stupid. But you know, you have to back up here a little bit, because you're going to the course because you don't know, unless you're the teacher, and then there is a big problem. But if you're going to learn. And you know what? The Holy Spirit's inside of you. He knows you, and he just wants you to be free in him, and you go to school with him. Basically, you learn, and he teaches you, and he speaks to you, and the more you're obedient, the bigger and greater your faith grows, and the more exciting the adventure is. And you know, we talked about anointing after we talked about the fire in the fireplace and the Holy Spirit doing that. And we talked about the anointing. In Isaiah 61, there's anointing upon us. The sovereign Lord God has anointed me. He's anointed you. You may not feel like you're anointable. You might not feel as spiritual as the people that you look up to, but you are. You have the same Holy Spirit inside of you that Jesus walked on this earth with. You have the same Holy Spirit as anyone who you lift and highly esteem in ministry or in your circle of friends. You are equal. And we have not been told that. We've kind of exalted. We have our own little we have our own little groupies that follow different ministries. We have our own little superstars. That's not the way God put it together. I think we need mentors. I think we need people who will come into our lives and spur us on, encourage us. But we're not to revere them as we revere God. And we're not to look at them as superior and us as inferior. They just work in their gift. And probably the reason they work in their gift so well is because they have gone on that journey. Like Deb was talking about. Just stepping out and walking in that area. And you know what? You bang your head and stub your toes lots along that journey. We don't always share those things because that would make us transparent and people would think, wow. And the reality is that is exactly how you learn. You learn that voice. You learn how to be that person that God wants to use. And we'll talk about being a conduit. And really a conduit is just a pipe or a wire that brings something through. And like a chimney is a conduit for smoke, then you want that chimney clean. And so God wants us to be pure. He wants us to be kind of flushed out and clean so our tubes are free to let him run through. And he'll give you opportunities, probably not when you most expect them. You know how we pray and fast and really seek the Lord and then we just expect God to do something awesome? He usually catches me a bad time. You know, like when I'm in a stinking rotten mood. And I remember this in our church where I'd burnt out in the ministry, and so I'd kind of had a little bit of a hate on with God, but I went to church anyway because you have to if you want to get to heaven, right? You try to figure that piece out there. Anyways, so I knew the routine and I went to church, and so I would go to church with blue jeans on, running shoes, a white T-shirt. And I knew that looking like that, this pastor that I was in the church with would never ask me to come up and do ministry because I was still a pastor, right? Broken, beaten up, mad, angry pastor. But he didn't have that kind of discernment, and he would tick me off. Just a young pastor, and he'd tick me off because we would have communion, and then we'd have a prayer line. And he would say, Pastor Jim, would you come up and pray with people? Oh, man, I was ticked. So you're going up to the prayer line to help people in the Holy Spirit, and you're just mad at the pastor, and you're mad at God. So there's a real nice environment for somebody that's going to come and receive, don't you think? And you know what? It's interesting, because as they walk down, they can see that in your face. And I didn't care. That was it. I didn't really care because I was that angry. Anyways, I would get up there and I would be just kind of thinking like, I don't want to be here. I remember this one person came down and I could see that she didn't want me to pray for her daughter. And we had something in common. I didn't want to pray for her daughter either. But everybody else was busy and she was really upset. And I was kind of upset that everybody else was busy. And this girl comes up to me and she was a teenager and she says, I'd like you to pray for me. And I have this sickness that's not medically able to be helped, and I have lupus, And so, like, I'm feeling real spiritual, I'll tell you. So I said, well, let's pray then. And her mom's standing behind, like, throwing daggers at me with her eyes, you know, because she didn't want me near her daughter. And so I just prayed. I prayed this prayer. Can you imagine that kind of a vessel? I prayed and said, God, would you please heal this young girl? Well, 3 or 4 months later, I'm still in my same kind of atmosphere, in my same kind of attire. I was still in blue jeans, running shoes, and it was another communion time. And up comes this girl with her girlfriend. And she told me, she asked me if I would pray for her girlfriend because God had healed her. And her girlfriend had the same thing. And I'm going, why'd you do that, God? Like, you know, why would you use me? Because I wasn't really that spiritual. Why don't you use somebody spiritual? And he didn't do that. He just used me. Because, see, he doesn't look at us the way we look at us. He loves us in our stinky mess. He loves me when I have a rotten attitude. He still wants to use you. I don't know how he does that, but I think what happens is that he can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. Honestly. Because his gifts are without repentance. And so I just want to encourage you that he wants to minister to you and through you. So this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles if you have it. It'll be up on the screen here as well. I want you to turn in your Bibles. Where's my clicker? Oh, that's beautiful. It is so. Awesome. That is awesome. How could you see that through there? That's a spiritual gift you have, my friend. This is an awesome story, what I titled this is called What I Have. And you know, when we walk in the Holy Spirit, we walk in the Holy Spirit with the gifts that He's given us. We all have been given gifts. And so when we're walking in the Holy Spirit, He just allows those gifts to just pour out on people and on ourselves as well. And so here we have a picture, and I'll just read this as we go along here. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Gate Beautiful every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. We look into the next chapter and we find that he's been there for 40 years. 40 years he was crippled from birth. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, and as did John, and said, look at us. So here, here's this guy that's crippled, and he just lives by asking and begging. And Peter and John look at him, and they're going to change his life because they're going to do something that he never expected. So he paid attention. He said, look at us. So I'll tell you something. You got to know that the Holy Spirit's talking to you when you say, look at me, because things are going to be different. The Holy Spirit was already working in Peter and John. So Peter said to him, I have neither silver or gold. So he knew he was in the ministry. The beauty is that he had silver, you know, because silver and gold has been for 40 years all this guy got. So he said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. Okay? So this is the testing one. Here he is sitting there, been 40 years. This is the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Holy Spirit says tonight, right now, you're going to touch this man and he's going to walk. What do you think? Well, we read it in the story and we know how spiritual Peter and John were, but what about you? What about you being that person that God would say, I want you to do this? And Peter took him by the right hand stood him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles grew strong. And so he just said, "Thanks, Pete. This is awesome." No, he never. He stood up, he leaped, he stood, he walked around, he went into the temple. Now, this wasn't the thing to do, okay? Temples are very religious, and they have a protocol. They have an order of service, and he wasn't involved in the order of service. He didn't give a rip. You know that? When God touches you and you are made whole and you haven't walked ever in your life before, you're not going to walk in and go, "Excuse me, I'd like to share a testimony." He would be running around, "Look at, hallelujah, look at these legs." He'd just be pumped and running around and they would be going, "Shut up, we're singing. Nobody asked you to say anything." When all the people saw him walk in and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they're filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. They were blown away. Just like I was blown away when that girl came up and said, "God healed me of lupus." And so he clung to Peter and John. Like, can you imagine? We've done that. We've done some of that even here. Like people that have they're huggers. You know, there's some people that are real huggers. So you just hug people. I love hugging people. Our family is Irish and Italian. Was either hug or slug anyway. So I love the hugging part. Although we in the Irish part, you just slug and then you'd hug after. You know. So they clung to Peter and John, and all the people hurried in amazement towards them to the portico called Solomon's Portico. They went to a place not in the church, but they went to a place that was a common area, a colonnade that they would just gather around. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. "That's a really good time to share about your God. Israelites, why are you so amazed at this? Why do you look so intently at us if we have made him walk by our own power or piety?" Oh, this is an area that you have to be really careful of, because if you're hot in this ministry, it could go to your head. "I'm a healing gym." "Just come around. You got something wrong with you. Hallelujah. Just come and see me." And you start to blame your own advertising. That's what happens. And God isn't interested in you being lifted up, but he's interested in Jesus being lifted up. And Jesus points people towards the Father, and the eternal miracle that happens in anything is that that person resides with Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. That's the miracle. So Peter was right on to this. Humility is really important. I remember as a paramedic, I liked being a paramedic. Paid really good, nice sharp uniforms, got to drive white trucks with red stripes on them and crosses. It's a good thing for Christians to get paid by the government to do that. I loved it. I loved helping people and I loved all of that. So when I was there in Victoria for a few years, just a couple of years, they ran a little article in the newspaper about different careers. And so they came and asked me, out of 60 different paramedics, some that have been there from the big get-go, if I would be the spokesperson for the ambulance. That's pretty cool, eh? 2 years into it. So I still have the picture. Of course I would. And here I was, leaning against my ambulance. Had shades on, because you look cooler. White shirt. That was me. Big picture in a weekend thing. And in this article, and they just said, you know, "What is it like to be a paramedic?" And I was just like my buttons were busting, but not because of what's happening now, but but because of this pride. So the paper is going to come out on the Friday, on the Saturday, and I was working Saturday, and my partners, like, they were really razzing me because, you know, "Oh, look at Caruso, he's the, you know, he's the golden boy." And so went to this call, and there's this lady, she's having abdominal problems. And we went to transfer her from the couch, so you kind of do a lift. And so she said, I'm going to be sick. And my partner says, and she's, you know, so he was thinking ahead, so he thought she doesn't want to throw up on her own carpet. So he grabbed the paper. And when he spun the paper open, there's my picture, and she threw up on it. And he goes, oh, whose picture is that? It was like the pride balloon lost all its air. Like, so, you know, that's just what God does. He doesn't want you to be proud. He wants you to be proud of what he's doing in your life. But you have to remember you're a conduit, and he allows you to do those things. So Peter knew that. Peter had been through some pretty tough times. So here's a bit of a history. Radical change in their Christian walk, Peter and John and the rest of the disciples. Jesus was no longer physically with them. I think it would have been kind of cool to hang around with Jesus. I was just thinking about that worshiping, and I thought, you know, maybe I should raise my hands more because people might think I'm the speaker and would look better if I was a bit more, instead of hang, you know, kind of like with my hands in my pocket. I got blue jeans on or black jeans, and I'm kind of thinking. And then I thought, what would I do if Jesus was here in the flesh? How would I hang out with him? I don't think I'd really hang out with him any different than I hang out with anybody else. Because I don't think he would expect that. I mean, we can be sloppy and dirty and vulgar and all that type. But he just wants to be who you are. He wants you to be in his presence, who you are, the way he's created you. So they were no longer physically with them, but they had received the Holy Spirit. They'd received the Holy Spirit. Signs and wonders had happened, and Peter became a bold preacher. From a guy that ran and denied everything to a guy that stood up and told people that they killed Christ and that they were the problem. 3,000 people came to Christ that first sermon. The New Testament church was exploding. 3,000 people one Sunday. You know, a couple of weeks later, 5,000 people. It was just exciting. Believers got together for fellowship, worship, to eat together, to share with one another. They just kind of hung out all the time. They went to church every day. I don't know, Jazz, if I want to do that every day. You would want to do that every day because it wasn't a program. It was just, let's get together and see what God's going to do. We need to go to church every day with him. And every day, new people came to Christ. Added to the church daily. Can you imagine that? That was pretty exciting. Every day. And of course, you know, you got 8,000 new members. And you got the rest of them who are all pumped up, like the 120 that were out in the upper room that are just all, you know, Pentecostals, speaking in tongues, running around, just doing stuff. It'd be a pretty exciting place to be. So they moved to this Solomon's portico. The timing is everything with God. Peter and John are going to pray at 3:00 in the afternoon. On a routine, they did that. Even after they were saved, they still went to the temple to pray. Isn't that interesting? And a crippled man is being brought to the temple every day. And he is lame for 40 years. And I think Jesus walked by this man many times as he went to the temple. Ever thought about that? The one who could heal never healed him. Why? Like, Jesus could do anything. It said he went about going, doing good and healing everyone that was around him. And yet, here's this crippled guy who would say, alms, alms, and I don't know, but I'm just thinking, maybe Jesus gave him a couple of toonies or something like that once in a while. I don't know. But he didn't heal him. So, here it is that the guy didn't come into the church to be healed. Instead, he wasn't healed in the temple. He was at the gate, or the beautiful gate, or the gate beautiful, as you enter the temple, in the presence of believers who came seeking God. And here's the contrast: a crippled beggar with no hope and a beautiful, ornate entrance to the author of hope. Isn't that right? So many people that we rub shoulders with, so many people in our families, so many people that we care for and love, so many people in our neighborhoods are sitting right at the gate, beautiful. And there's going to be a time, honestly, there's going to be a time when either you or someone else gets to bring them in, just gets to lead them into that beautiful gate of hope. It is a beautiful gate. We've walked through it, those who know Christ. We've walked through it. Inside there is all the power and all the strength and all the beauty that God has created in it, where it resides in you. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord, and you are complete in Him. Isn't that awesome? You are not incomplete, any one of you. You are complete in Him. God doesn't always give you what you ask for. Anybody agree with that? He doesn't work on reverse psychology either, because I tried that one. Got a, you know, the guys in our church, I was whining and complaining. I said, you know, when I moved down to Parksville, I don't have any tools. I gave them all to my son, and all I have is a couple of screwdrivers and blah, blah, blah. And so on my birthday, they bought me a toolbox with a bunch of tools in it. So then in my little speech of reception, I said, I've never been to Hawaii. And they said, you ain't going on our dollar either. And God's like that. It don't work that way. You know, oh God, I'd never go to Hawaii for you. And he says, yeah, you're right. Maybe go to the Dawson City, Yukon instead. So here's this. God doesn't always give you what you ask. So this guy's been asking for 40 years just to help me exist. Help me feed my body so I can keep coming here to get enough to feed my body, to keep coming here to get enough. And silver and gold will allow you to exist in life. But an encounter with the healer allows you to live life. Now that doesn't have to be a physical problem. That can be an emotional problem. That can be a spiritual problem. But when you start living, it's different than just existing. Life becomes a blast. You don't want to miss the next day what God has. You don't want to miss getting up in the morning. We are up at Jazz and Les's this morning, and you get a nice cup of coffee. Les makes great coffee, and you sit there and you watch the sun come up and just paint this beautiful picture of a landscape that people would pay thousands of dollars to have that picture hanging in their room. And every morning is different. It's beautiful. That's what God's created for you. Can you imagine walking into that gate beautiful, knowing that that resides inside of you, all that beauty, all that power, all that what God has created, it's inside of you. So an encounter with the healer allows you to live life. And here's Matthew. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you're to eat or drink, about your body, what you're to wear. Is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So He'll meet all your needs. Then the awesome thing is that the Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. That's the end of it. I have need of nothing ever again, because the Lord is my shepherd. And verse 5, I always love, because it says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. I get this picture, and I just love this picture in my mind, of this beautiful table set, an ornate table set out in the middle of a battlefield. And the war is still raging all around, and on this table is everything that you ever loved to eat. Everything. Steak and crab and prawns and just all the desserts and all that kind of stuff. You sit there and it's just this beautiful buffet. God says, Come sit down and eat. Now think about this. All around you, mortars going off. There's people with machine guns running up and down. And he not only gives you a place to sit in the middle of the battle and feed you, he gives you an appetite and peace and protects you. Understand that. He prepares a place, a table before you. And he anoints your head with oil, and your cup overflows, and surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell with the Lord in his house forever. So what I'm talking about here is becoming a conduit. And I mentioned that earlier. We need to be a conduit. We need to be a clean conduit. Whatever, with some of us may be smaller conduits. Somebody must. Some of us might be the Enbridge pipeline. and there'll be some controversy when you're in that trouble, in that situation. But whatever it is, whether it's steel pipe or plastic pipe or a piece of wire or whatever, it is a conduit that takes power. It takes resources to the destination. And that's what we get to do with what's within us. We get to do that. We're allowed. The big word is allowed. God gives us faith but expects obedience. Peter knew this crippled beggar for years. Probably knew him by name. You do after a while, you know, if you're in that area. As a paramedic, I knew people that were regulars. So regular, matter of fact, that we would have their forms already filled out. We just had to date them. Because it was the same guy, the same situation. He's a street guy, or different ones were street people. And so I remember one time going to a call on Yates and Douglas, like right in the middle of the city, and there's a guy doing like the funky chicken in the middle of the, like right in the middle of the street. The traffic's backed up. There's 100 people around him. We break through there, and here's this guy that we know really well. Now, we were really busy that day. And so we went over, very professional, put our bag down, kneeled down beside him, and said, I'll use his name as John. Hey, John. I just kind of whispered in his ear, John, we're really busy today. Do you think you might be able to do this tomorrow? And he goes, you bet. And he got up and... So we didn't have to fill out the form or make up a stretcher, but we were busy. And so, you know, I don't know for sure whether he did it the next day or not. But you see, there's guys there all the time. And sometimes we see people in our lives all the time and we forget that they have those needs. And this time was different. Peter spoke words of faith. He said, silver and gold have none. But what I have is Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he goes, takes his hand, says, stand up. Now, if he's not healed, he's going down really hard. But when you have faith and you act on faith and God has spoken to you, that's when you move. And I'll tell you, that's when you see somebody stand who could never stand before. That's when you can see when you pray for somebody that gets set free from a demon. That's when you pray for somebody and their addiction's broken. That's when you move and your neighbor who was really dark and angry and that's when you go over and say, you know what? God just told me to come over here and pray for you, and they come to Christ. That's when you move out in obedience. See, faith is nothing unless you walk on it. You're going to have a lot of faith, but unless you use it, it doesn't really do anything. But when you do it, it expands. It's like working out at the gym. It's you just develop that muscle of faith and you're getting more excited. And then you start thinking about all the things that God used you to do. And you think, wow, God, you can do anything. And you'll allow me to be part of that. So he put his action into words. See, when miracles happen, God receives the glory. Walking and leaping and praising God. That's what he did. He didn't go, oh, Peter, oh, Peter, oh, Peter. He went, God! He was at the gate beautiful. He knew the temple. He was like he was sitting out here smoking a cigarette, everybody walking in and out. Something goes on here. I don't know what it is, but I think it's God, and so I'm going to be here for 40 years. And here's this guy comes by and says, today's your day. He gets up, and he gives the glory to God. So he's clinging to Peter, and he's shouting and screaming, and he exalts him as healers and super spiritual people. This is just for you, Leslie, this one. kind of all spins in, swirls in. Oh, yours didn't do that. Oh, too bad. Mine did. You can see it later if you want. I was hoping it did it. Peter showed humility, and I talked to you about God in our pride. An awesome miracle was performed at his hands. Everyone was awestruck at the power of his faith. Peter was now the star of the show. No, he wasn't. He was allowed to represent God. But he knew who had done the miracle and was quick to give him glory. He brought the thoughts back to Jesus. We don't need any superstars anywhere. In ministry, on TV, or anywhere. We don't need superstars writing books. We don't need anything like that. We just need to be able to be a vessel used as a conduit so people see Jesus. See, in Mark 16, it says this, "He who has believed and is baptized will be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons." We talked about that yesterday. There's a dark force in this world today. There's a dark force of demonic activity in our communities, in North America. It used to be, it wasn't so prevalent, at least we thought it wasn't so prevalent. But it's thick. Our society has actually entertained this and opened the doors for it. Just think, in my name, you will cast out demons. That's not the best kind of ministry to have. I'd rather have the healing and giving ministry. You know, it's a little cleaner than somebody writhing on the floor, spitting and swearing and threatening to take your throat apart. But I'll tell you, when they get free, and they're set in the right mind, like the demoniac, it's like a baby being born. That person is no longer tied to that demonic activity in their life. They are free. And you were allowed. That is so awesome. They will speak with new tongues, and we talked about that. There's two kinds of tongues. Baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you this prayer tongue, this language that you can use to worship and you can use to pray. Pray with words that you cannot utter. The Holy Spirit does that. Romans chapter 8, it just talks about that. When you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will pray through you, edifies and strengthens and blesses you. Then there's the tongues that demand interpretation. So if you're going to give a message in tongues, an interpretation has to come. Otherwise, you're a wacko. Okay, that's as simple. And we have lots of wackos. There's going to be wackos in the church, and that's okay. But there's also the genuine. And the reality is that you need to stand up in faith and believe that God is going to give that interpretation. And then you need to give that message. And sometimes it's awesome. Sometimes that message you give in a language you don't know touches somebody who's in the congregation that speaks that language. That's powerful. Those are exciting things. Don't get hung up on tongues. Don't get hung up on the baptism of the Holy Spirit just speaking in tongues. Don't get hung up on that. It's part of it. And just walk through God with that. When you prayed and asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, watch your life and see what else God's doing in your life. Watch the fruit of the Spirit come to the surface. You might be able to speak in tongues. You might have done it for 35 years, but you might be the most miserable people on 2 feet. That's not good. You best not speak in tongues. But I'll tell you, if you have the fruit of the Spirit moving in your life, you're attractive. You're really attractive to people who are in darkness. They'll pick up serpents, and like yesterday I said, I don't think so. I'm not a serpent guy. You know, honestly, I think they should all just, you know, a good snake's a dead snake. There's some big snakes out there. Huge, like I don't even know why that Noah just didn't squish them out when he was in the ark. A few things, mosquitoes, flies, bed bugs. He could have done them all, but he never, and I don't know why. but anyways, and so you'll drink any deadly poison and it will not hurt you. So you can go to Starbucks, okay? For somebody, they go, oh, that's so strong. I love it myself. So you can, you know what, and that doesn't mean, okay, well, you know, we're going to sit down this afternoon and have a couple of cups of strychnine together. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's totally ridiculous. We're not going to do that, but you know, if somebody puts some strychnine in your drink, God will protect you. Interesting, eh? And they'll be ticked. And they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Isn't that amazing? You know what we usually do is we're praying and fasting and we get this chance to pray and then the person's healed. And we go, can you believe that? You know? I remember when we were first in ministry, we had this this gal from Ukraine. Was she Ukrainian? Ray and Vera.
Oh, I can't.
Anyways, Yugoslavia, yeah. Ukraine. Anyway, she talked with a big deep accent, and so she phones me up. She said, or she came to a Bible study, and her husband brought her on a sleigh. Like it was 40 below up in Dawson City, and Dawson City is pretty small, so he just dragged her on a sleigh, and she had this big growth in the inside of her thigh, and that was cancerous. And so we didn't know any better. We just prayed for things. You know, we just believed God for everything. And so we prayed for her. She went home with a lump. It's not very good. Not very good for your ministry, you know. Hey, look at this. This is a testimony. But the next morning, she phones up, and this is the word she says. Jim, it's gone. Just like that. God had healed her. I tell you, that made such a difference in how we prayed for people and how we believed for people. You see, my God, the one I serve, the Holy Spirit resides with me, He can do anything. 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 And so I just believe that. And if He allows me to be a conduit, that's even more exciting for me. So they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so it says in James, is anyone among you suffering? He should be praying about it. Keep on praying about it. But, and those who have reason to be thankful should be continuing to sing praises to God. Is anyone sick? Should call for the elders of the church. It's not the old people. All right? That's the board. That's a pastor. That's the spiritual people that you believe can minister to you. And they should pray over him and pour a little oil on him, calling on the Lord to heal him. We'll pour a little oil, and we're going to do that here in a few minutes. We're going to anoint you with oil, because anointing of the oil is a contact with the Holy Spirit. And he's referred to as a metaphor with the oil of healing. The oil that God pours upon your head, the cup that runneth over. And the prayer, their prayer offered in faith will heal him or her, for the Lord will make him well. And if his sickness was caused by some sin, the Lord will forgive him. And you know what we've done is said, okay, you're sick. What's the sin? That's not what this says, okay? And if there is some sin, and for a while when you didn't get healed, you had sin and you didn't tell me what it was, so sorry, because we didn't know. Sometimes we think that every time we have to do something, God's got to come through. God doesn't have to come through for you. God's got to come through for himself. And so his timing is important, but the reality is that it's not somebody's sin because they don't get healed. Might be. That's where discernment comes in. Admit your faults one to another and pray for each other that you might be healed. You know, when you do, and I'll just maybe have a few minutes here where everybody can stand up and tell me their faults. Wouldn't that be a wonderful service? I've been in those kind in the early 70s where you just stood up and confessed your sins to one another. You sure felt good going home then. Now 300 people know you're an idiot, you know? And you got these weaknesses. And then the ones that prey on them, they go, oh, there's another one I can get onto this week. And the reality is that when you pray and you have somebody you have a relationship with and you can trust them and you share the struggles that you're going through, the sin that you're in, it's an accountability thing, it breaks the power of the enemy over you in that. You're bringing that to the light, and it disarms the enemy. It breaks his back. He can't blackmail you anymore with it. He can't torment you anymore with it, because you know that somebody who walks in the light with you, knowing that, and they pray for your freedom. Beat the devil at his own game. I don't really like him. Admit your faults one to another and pray for each other so you might be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. That almost goes contrary to what I said, standing in that communion line with a stinking attitude. But I'm still a righteous man in Christ's eyes. Isn't that amazing? We know, we've heard people who've led people to Christ and big name evangelists, and at the same time they're in sin up to their necks, horrible sin. And yet people are getting saved and healed and set free. And they go, right after the meeting, they go and do some sin. What's that about? It's a character thing. It's not a gift thing. And God wants just like that. We showed a little video about, and you've probably seen the commercial on TV where you put, you know, you're sitting by the fireplace, and it says, isn't it wonderful to sit by the fireplace and in a winter, and then it shows, but fireplaces sometimes cause large fires, and then they show a whole block on fire, like this big inferno, like 7 or 8 houses, gulf totally in flames. If you don't clean your chimney, that's what's going to happen. And that's not what's going to happen. But God knows that there's still some creosote in your chimney, and that's the stuff that he wants to clean out. But it's amazing, he'll still use that conduit to fulfill his gift and the need of that person. Ephesians here gives us that confidence. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to generations after generations forevermore. He's able to do far abundantly beyond what we ask or think. And sometimes we run short of putting him in that opportunity to do a 10 instead of a 1 on our scale. And this is it here. For the gospel is righteousness from God. The gospel, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live, breathe, eat, sleep, walk, talk, relate by faith. So nothing's really changed since that afternoon at the temple a couple thousand years ago. We are his disciples, and he still is pouring out his power, healing the sick, setting people free from demonic influence, using ordinary people to do extraordinary miracles, expecting obedience for the faith that we have, giving us opportunity. He loves to allow you to be part of his plan. All of you. Every one of you. You might be 40, 50 years old in Christ, or you might be 6 months old. You have the same Holy Spirit as anybody else that walks the face of this earth. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus used in his ministry. And so this morning, we want to pray for you. We want to believe that God is going to do something in your life. And maybe you just, maybe like yesterday we said, you know, maybe you just need a refreshing and an infilling of the Holy Spirit. A refilling, because you leak. You know that? You leak. You either leak because it's been a while since you've been filled, or you just gave out so much there's nothing left to give, and you just need to get filled up so you can give some more. Or maybe you have a struggle in your life and you need God to just set you free from that. And maybe it's some physical thing, some emotional thing, something. Maybe your finances have hit the wall. I'm totally impressed with how God supplies our needs. You know, they talk about the cashless society coming up at the end times and the tribulation. I don't have a problem with that. I've lived in the cashless society all my life. It's not a big thing to me, like, bring it on, doesn't matter. Because, you see, I know my God's my banker. You give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and pouring over. so that you can give and give and give. You notice all these preachers say that, don't they? I should have done that before the offering, right? I just want you to know that you walk in this fullness, the same as a cripple who stood up and his life changed totally forever. You know, he lost his job being a cripple. He got downsized. I mean, he wasn't needed at the temple gate anymore. He wasn't. But he could go on to do anything that he wanted to in Christ. Pastor Jazz.